Is there anyone that can come up and say, oh, Bill, I'm going to tell you what, I'm exhausted from doing good all day. I get out on 820, I just do good out there. You know, I mean, I go to work, I just do good to everybody. Oh, man, nothing but good, bro, I'm worn out. No.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, happy Friday, everyone. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, A Time to Sow, A Time to Reap, from the New Testament Epistle of Galatians. Now, Pastor Bill.
It was a time when kings went out to war. It was in the spring of the year, the Bible says. And instead of being with Joab and his men out there on the battle line, you know what he was doing. He's hanging out in the palace. I know what his problem was. And Bathsheba was over there taking a bath, and he looks down and he calls for her. You know the story. It ends up in adultery. Do you know what? That's talking about taking you to a worse condition. Do you know it says that he that does those things or she that does those things will be reduced to a crust of bread? David would have never, never done that. Had he known he was going to then lie to God, he was going to have Uriah, her husband, killed. The baby that was going to be born is going to die. And then it took a year to repent. And Nathan went to him. David, God has forgiven you all of your sins, but the sword will never depart from your house. You know what happened with Amnon and Absalom and all and Tamar, all of his children. Amen. Oh, what a tragedy that was. You see, whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is a law. The Bible says in Hosea 8:7, they sow the wind, but listen to what they reap. They reap something worse. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The Bible says, loved one, that when that happens, it always takes us from a place of worse than it was. Do you know how powerful sowing to the flesh is? Meaning the works of the flesh? Meaning to be, for example, an unbeliever? Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You've never asked Christ to be your Lord. Do you know how powerful sowing to the flesh is? Man, listen, it is the ultimate corruption, and that leads to eternal death. And what does that mean? Eternal death means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? That means that eternal death leads you to, what is it? Reaping. You never stop reaping. That's terrifying to me. Paul said in Romans 6:23, he says, for the wages of sin is not physical death, eternal death. That is eternal separation from God in hell, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Man, that is what I call horrible reaping, amen? The thought of that is just it's horrible. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, amen? So we don't want to sow to the flesh, loved one. We want to sow to the Spirit. That's why it says, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit, he does it in us, will of the Spirit, listen, reap everlasting life. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Sowing to the Spirit means the Spirit has His way in your life. You're walking in the Spirit. You're being led by the Spirit. You're alive in the Spirit. And not only that, when you sow to the Spirit, guess what is manifested in your life? The fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Yes. And the fruit of the Spirit, 5:22, is love. Thank God for those things, loved one. Listen, I tell you, that's what I want. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life, eternal life. Have you ever really thought about eternal life? Eternal life is just not, I'm going to live forever. You are, but that's not what it means. Eternal life means that you now, because you trusted Christ Jesus, you have His life, God's life in you, the never-ending life. Does that make sense? It's a never, ever, ever ending life. Jesus Christ is the source of all life. John 10:10, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, I have come that you might have life, my kind of life. The Zoe is that word in the Greek. His life, not your life, the never ending life, and have it abundantly. It says in John 14, 6, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the absolute source of life. So whenever you ask Christ to be the Lord of your life, you know what happened? Eternal, everlasting life became immediately, that moment, your present possession forever. Listen to what it says in John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has, past tense, you already have it, everlasting life. Jesus told Mary and Martha, says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Never die. In the Greek, do a word study. That's in the Greek, that's a double negative. Let me read it to you. It would read like this. It says, he who believes in me shall never, no, never, no, never die, never taste death, never taste everlasting death, and never be separated from God. What a word, amen? Listen, I tell you, I look at that, and here's the deal. The life that we have in us right now, death can never affect it. Man, turns me on. Do you understand? Oh, dear God, we have that in us right now. Listen, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. That's more than a doctrine in the Bible, loved one. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, look at it now, verse 9, very important. Look at the promise. And let us not grow weary while what? Say it again. Doing good. Don't grow weary while doing good. Why? Well, for in due season, God's perfect timing, in due season, we shall reap. Loved one, that has nothing to do about if I do good, God will save me. That's not about salvation. This is a promise from God. It says we shall reap, and here's how we do it, if we do not give up, if we do not lose heart. Man, listen, let me ask you a question. Be honest with me. Is there anyone in the chapel this morning that can come up and say, oh, Bill, I'm going to tell you what, I'm just worn, I'm exhausted from doing good all day. That's all I do. I get out on 8:20, I just do good out there. You know, I mean, I go to work, I just do good to everybody. You know, I mean, I'm just so worn out. Hey, brother, what you been up today? Oh, man, nothing but good, bro. I'm worn out. No. No, listen, what happens when we sow doing good? You reap in due time, at the right moment, at the exact time wants us to do that. His own timing. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, time to die. Here it comes. A time to plant. Sow that seed. It's a time to plant. There's also a time to pluck up. What is planted? That's to reap what is planted. That's the harvest. Amen? So there is a time to sow. There is a time to reap. There is a time for the harvesting. Why? God planned it that way. In 25 days, the whirlwind of God blows into this campus. People are going to be coming from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Single mothers raising their children, grandparents, raising their children's children. They're going to be coming. This is not a time to lose heart. Amen? No, this is not a time, to faint. We're not going to do that. It says, in due season we shall reap. We're in God's due season. Listen, when a farmer goes out to plant in the spring of the year, whatever, can he calculate just a little bit when the harvest will be? Of course. So can we. So can we. We've been planting and laboring and sowing and all this since the first of the year with God's New Year's message to this very moment. Listen, everybody has been working so hard. You know what? Here's the deal. This entire campus, December 5th, 6th, 7th, maybe it only go for one night. We don't know. It's whatever God wants. Amen? But here's the deal. He's turning this campus into one gigantic lake. You ever been to Lake Grapevine? Okay, it's big, isn't it? That's what Jesus is doing. He's turning this place into one huge lake. But here's what's exciting. He is going then to stock his own lake. Amen? Yes. Oh, I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. He's going to put, you know, like I said, single moms and with their children. They're all coming. Oh, loved one, listen to me. Why? So we can go fishing. Amen? That's what we're about to do. It's amazing that Jesus, our Lord, is bringing his harvest to us. We're not going out into the harvest. He says, no, let me just bring it to you. All you have to do is be fishers of men. Amen? And love everybody. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, and we do have opportunity, as we have opportunity, here's that word again, let us do good. Let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of the faith. Oh, Calvary, listen to me. God has given us an incredibly great opportunity. He says, let us do good to all. When we do that, it fulfills the law of Christ, the royal law, where we love our neighbors as our own selves. It fulfills that completely. It says, let us do good to all. If the church would do good to all, I believe that would stop prejudice. I believe it would stop racism. If everyone in the church would do good to all, no matter what color, nation, or land, it doesn't matter. We're all made in the image of God. Amen? If we just did good to all people, the Lord is bringing all kinds of people into his harvest here for you. Poor, lonely, hurting. Some of them are so far down, they don't know if they'll ever look up again. And some of them might not be very kind. Some of them might be kind of mean. Do you understand? I'm good to everybody, even the poor Baptist. So, no, I'm teasing. You know I'm teasing. Don't get offended. Don't send me an email. I love Baptist people. I pray with all the time. I don't want you to lose heart when we're out there if we have some ungrateful people. Do you understand? Don't you ever... When Jesus fed the 5,000, they were all happy, weren't they? They were all grateful. No, there were fornicators and adulterers and everybody else out there too, and then some that loved the Lord. No, all types of people are coming. Man, listen, I read a study yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I heard it on the radio, so I wanted to check it out. They did a study at the university, or one of the universities in Tennessee. I can't remember which one it was. Anyway, they did, I don't know how many people, but hundreds and hundreds of people. And here's what they did. I guess they attached something to their brain or whatever. And here's what they did for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it was. Every day, all they did was good. They just went out and did kind things to everybody. That's all they did. I'm going to go do good. I'm going to do this. I'm opening doors. I'm putting the groceries in for an elderly lady or like an old pastor like me in the trunk and all that. You know what I mean? And here's what happened. When they did the study, they looked at the brain, and as they were doing good things, giving and all the rest of it, doing these kind acts, tons of dopamine was released in the brain. Okay? You know dopamine. What does dopamine do? It makes you what? It makes you feel good. You get the high. Do you understand? Yeah, so give more, you'll be happier. Oh, you guys are bad. Come on. No, when we get out there, you're going to do good. You're going to keep doing it. You're going to love people. Do you understand? You're going to do kind things. You're going to be kind to these kids that are coming. And what's going to happen? God says, let that dopamine go. Yeah. You know, Calvary Chapel is high legally. Yes, that's what's going to happen. But we want to be good to one another, especially the household of the faith. Amen. We know, like the Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death into life when we love the brethren, when we love one another. Listen, the Lord is giving us an incredible opportunity. You know, years ago, I ordered a lithograph from Europe. It hangs in the little chapel lobby right there. If you look at it, it's a famous painting of the sower. You know what I mean? He's out there in the fields. He has his bag of seed. And what do you do with seed? Back in that time, you would what? You would scatter it. You would broadcast it. You were sowing the seed. Loved one, you know what? That right there is what we're about to do. Prepare your hearts. Get your bag of seeds, which we know that Jesus said in that parable of the sower that the seed is the Word of God. We're going to sow the Word of God, and we're going to demonstrate the love of God. That's what we are about to do, man. And you're going to find out there are four kinds of hearts. Remember, if you study out the parable of the sower, there's going to be, there's only four hearts in the world, actually. There's the hard heart, remember? Oh, man, just beat down, packed down, and all the rest of it. Then you got the shallow heart. You know, the shallow heart is, oh, I'm excited about the, oh, the Lord, yep. And, but, you know, then it was just an emotional thing. Then you have the crowded heart. You know, well, they, yeah, okay, the Lord. But then the things of the world, the cares of this life come in and crowd out Jesus and so forth. But then you have the fruitful heart. They're going to be all here. And you are the stewards over that. God has called you. This may be the last event. This may be the last outreach that we ever have. We may be gone home. Do you understand? We don't know. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But I know that we're sowers. And the Bible says in Isaiah 32, 20, it says, oh, blessed. That means happy, envy, fortunate, or to be envied, rather. Blessed are you who sow beside all waters. Well, the big lake is going to be there. Jesus is putting it together. Listen, we're going to go out there. We're going to go sow seeds of love. Remember when Philip, the Greeks came to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. They want to see Jesus. They want to see the real Jesus, not a legalistic Jesus. Amen? They want to see the true Jesus. That's what we are about to do. We're going to cast out seeds of hope into their hearts. Some of their destinies will be changed because of you. The Bible says in 3 John 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. What a great verse. Hebrews 13, 16, do not forget to do good and share with such sacrifices. God is well pleased, not just pleased, but well pleased. Do you know how powerful doing good is? Listen to what Peter says, 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God. This is for us, the commission by God himself. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The word silence literally means muzzle. In other words, what we are about to do, by doing this good, they'll be speechless. They'll be stunned. They won't have anything to say. The people of the city are going to go, man, when the event's over, they're going to say, did you hear what that church down there is doing? Man, I can't believe all the things that God is doing down there. And you know what? Then we're not going to receive any more sad emails at this church like we've been getting. Person, well, they're the church. I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember everything was told me. I don't read that stuff. The office does because they protect me. It's a joke. Well, so, oh, Calvary Chapel, yeah, we heard about this. All the single moms and all the grandparents, you just want nothing but their money. They don't have any money, you moron. Yeah, amen? No. God has the money, and we're going to be helping them, amen? Yes, dear Lord. You know, and that one guy was going, well, how come there's not any single dads? Well, and so the Sandra, Merlinda, whoever was, you guys responded, are you a single dad with children? Well, if you are, come down. We have a gift for you. You know what I mean? Come right on down. But no, of course we would help him. Amen? Absolutely. Loved one, listen, the whirlwind is coming. The time is right. Prepare. We are. And you know what we did? We already sent out that invitation, that invite, just like Jesus told us to do. Let me read it to you. Luke 14, 12, Jesus said in his parable, when you give a dinner, when you throw a party, when you give a supper, don't ask your friends and your brothers and your relatives and your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to have dinner with family. That's not what he's alluding to at all. He said, they can pay you back for your goodness. Listen to what he says. But when you give a feast, invite the poor. He who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God. Invite the poor, the lame, the blind. Invite those who can never pay us back. What a joy. And Jesus says, if you do that, you will be blessed. Because they cannot repay you. Now listen carefully, sowing and reaping and harvest. Listen to what Jesus said. You'll be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid, meaning by God, at the resurrection of the just. Man. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 10, 11, right in that area, for we must all, the believer, the Christian, we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account unto the Lord. He's the judge, amen, of everything that we have done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, I want you to listen to me as I close. One day, we're all going to be in heaven together. All of us that love the Lord. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus, who loves us, who died for us, who paid the penalty of all of our sins. And you know what's going to happen? Candy Cane Lane Christmas will be mentioned in eternity. Now that is what I call reaping. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all, oh God, all the great things you've called us to do. And Lord, I know that you're going to be supplying all the gifts for those kids. One way or another, I know it's going to happen. For we trust in you. We feed upon your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible privilege that you have given unto Calvary Chapel. Lord, let it be perfect weather that day, like it is right now, Lord. Let it be perfect, not a drop of rain or wind, and let it be perfect. And Lord, save many. Let them be touched by the Spirit of God. When they come on this campus, let them know that someone is here, and they sense the Spirit of the living God, something they may not have ever even experienced. And Lord God, this morning, if there's anyone right now in this chapel, if Jesus Christ, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you're not saved, why would you want to reap eternal death when Jesus has already paid for your sin? But you have to trust him. You have to believe in him. You have to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. So if that's you, as every Christian is praying and every head is bowed, you say, Bill, I don't know Christ and I want him to be my Lord. Why don't you lift your hand up right now? You don't have to come to this altar, but just lift your hand high and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. Last call. I'll not ask again. If that's you, quickly put it up and put it right back down. God bless you. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. Hurry, quickly, up and put it right back down. Those that lift your hands, I want you to do something now. I want you to pray this prayer with me. In church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, I've sown so many bad things. I don't want to reap the consequences, which you said is eternal hell. So right now, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and believe it in my heart, you said you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved.
Pastor Bill's study in Galatians continues in our Monday program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. On behalf of Pastor Bill, thank you for listening to Love Never Fails this week. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.